Hello, and welcome to the second of three exciting NABBW teleseminars for June 2011. Our topic today is of special interest to bloggers, specifically bloggers who would like to learn how to make money for publishing their thoughts. Today we're going to be talking about how to generate serious, even, income with your blog. In a moment, I will introduce our guest, Marissa Sweezy, but first, let me introduce myself and do a bit of housekeeping. I am Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is found online at www.nabbw.com. We also have a forum at boomerwomenspeak.com, and our websites are the number one sites found via the major search engines when you search on the keywords Baby Boomer Women. If you're not a member of the NABBW, you're welcome to join us. You'll find a handy link on the upper right-hand corner of the front page of the NABBW site, which you can use to join. This teleseminar is an example of one of the many benefits we provide our members. We have approximately 90 teleseminars, which we've done in the past, which are available via written transcript and audio recording. These are yours with membership in NABBW. You won't see them on the website if you're not a member, however, because they're archived in the members-only area. Now, let me say a little bit about the format of the call today. In a moment, I will be introducing today's guest, Marissa Sweezy, and she and I will spend about 30 minutes discussing her proven techniques for attracting advertisers and sponsors to your blog. After that, we will open the call to questions from our audience, and we hope that you will bombard us with them. Now, enough of the preamble. Let me introduce today's guest, Marissa Sweezy, and we'll launch right into our discussion. Marissa is Digital and Social Media Director at Egner Prensky Marketing Group, a boutique public relations and marketing agency in Boston, Massachusetts. She started her career there as an intern in 2004, and over the course of the last 7 years, she has led the crusade to move Egner Prensky Marketing Group and their clients into the age of the Internet and social media. When she isn't blogging, tweeting, or maintaining client social media accounts, she is attending webinars, conferences, and tweet-ups to stay on top of the latest and greatest in technology with the best of the best in the industry. When it comes to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, etc., the saying in the office is, ask Marissa. Marissa has been published in PR News Digital PR Guidebook. She has been quoted in the Boston Globe and the Boston Herald and on websites such as Boston.com and About.com. She also writes for Examiner.com and maintains her own blog. In addition, she serves on the Executive Committee of the United Way's Emerging Leaders and recently founded a networking group on Boston's North Shore, the North of Boston Young Professionals. Marissa also volunteers weekly. She lives in Salem, Massachusetts with her husband, Austin. Marissa, welcome to the call today.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm delighted to have you. Before I launch into our questions, why don't I give you a brief opportunity to say something about what you enjoy most about your work?
Well, the thing I enjoy most about working with social media and educating people on how they can use social media to better themselves is everyone always has their aha moment of when they realize how beneficial using social media and getting their thoughts out there by blogging. And it's really exciting for me to see when they have that moment, that aha moment. And to be a part of that, it's just very rewarding, and it's a fun process when people are learning new things. I mean, I learn something new every day, and I think that's what makes it so rewarding, and that's why I enjoy doing what I do.
Excellent. All right. Now, we promised to answer about a dozen questions today in our effort to share techniques for attracting advertisers and sponsors to our blogs. After all, anyone who has published a blog knows that advertisers don't line up on our doorsteps just because we have a blog. So let's start at the top of our list of questions and get right into it. The first question that we wanted to cover, Marissa, is how do I tell advertisers that I'm open to their solicitations?
Well, the first way is to have your information easily accessible to them. So on your blog or website, you'll usually have a menu bar, and those things that are included in your menu bar might include things like about me, if you have different categories. For example, on my blog, I have a social media tab where people can learn more about me and my experience with social media. And then you'll usually have a contact me tab. But you also want to have a advertise with us, or I have a lot of mom blogger friends who have the tab. It's called PR/advertising. So if advertisers or PR representatives, for that matter, are coming to your blog, they can easily find how to contact you when they're looking for that. Once they get onto that tab, you want to have things like a media kit or what types of partnerships you're open to. The more information you can have on your blog or website, the more likely people are to advertise with you. If they really have to dig deep, they won't. They will just go on to the next person. I find that I myself do that. If I'm trying to work with a blogger and I go onto their site and there's no easy method of contacting them, probably 8 out of 10 times, unless it's somebody I really want to work with, I'll just move on. Because working with blogs and websites is very time consuming as it is. And oftentimes advertisers are trying to, you know, get their message out to the broadest number of people in the quickest way possible. And so if they have to spend a ton of time trying to track you down, it's just not going to happen. So having that tab in your menu bar, or even if you have a widget in one of your sidebars that says, hey, advertisers, or, you know, look here for information, or I'm open to advertising, something that is easily identifiable.
Excellent. So then the second question that we had put on the list of things that we promised to talk about, is it wrong to write a blog post telling people I want advertisers? It sounds like you would actually tell people it would not be wrong, but it might be something that we should all do.
Yes, absolutely. The more, and that's one of the things that's so great about blogging and websites, is the ones that are truly successful have a lot of transparency. People want to know, you know, what your motives are and what you are trying to do. And by having a blog, if you're familiar, there's a big annual conference called BlogHer. And many of the women who attend BlogHer, they ask for sponsorships to go to this conference. And so they'll write a blog post that says, you know, I'm trying to go to BlogHer 2011. Here's how your company can get involved in sponsoring me. And they write a blog post about it. There's nothing wrong with that. If, you know, everybody has to make a living somehow, and if you've decided that your blog is how you're going to do that, then why not tell people? It's the easiest way. And again, if someone is searching on your site for something, they will find that blog post and get the answers to their questions right away. And that's essentially what makes the communication happen faster also.
All right. Now, we also put on our list of things that we were going to have you talk about is, do I need a media kit for my blog? And already you've said that people should have a media kit, and the more information that's in it, the better. But I'm thinking that a lot of our audience probably doesn't know what a media kit is, because, you know, back in my original career, I was a media buyer for an advertising agency, so I was always telling all my prospective advertisers that, you know, that wanted to talk to my clients, you know, I was saying, send me your media kit. But I'm thinking that maybe we better talk about what is a media kit and what goes into it, because I think we're not talking to necessarily people who are savvy about that right now, Marissa.
Okay. So a media kit is essentially a informative look at your website, yourself, your blog, whatever form of internet you're using to communicate your message. And essentially, you would have, it could even be a one sheet. We have a lot of bloggers that we work with. It's just one page. You know, the first paragraph talks a little bit about themselves, their background, why they started the blog, then maybe some bullet points. on who the demographic is reading your blog. So, mm-hmm. you know, where what states they're predominantly from, how many unique visitors you may have. And unique visitors is the individuals. So if you have, say, 30,000 unique hits per day, that's 30,000 different sets of eyes seeing your blog on a daily basis. So you want to include some numbers like that, your Google page rank, if you have subscribers, how many subscribers you have. Then you'd also want to talk about what types of things you're open to blogging about or writing about. For example, some bloggers, they will say, you know, I only want to be contacted from advertisers who work in a green or eco-friendly space because that is what my blog is about. So if you don't have the type of product or service that falls into this category, please do not contact me. Or we'll have we have bloggers that will say, I will not take compensation for reviews. So for example, if you want to take products and do reviews on them, you could mm-hmm. say, I choose not to be compensated for reviews so that my opinions are truly my own. You want to just give as much information as possible so that when people are looking to contact you, say it's Papermate and they have a new product that they want to send out to 10,000 bloggers to review and sample and possibly give one away on their blog. Mm-hmm. That kind of information, you know, if you are open to receiving products and doing product reviews, you would want to put that in your media kit. And likewise, if you're not, you would want to put that in your media kit also. So then they're not wasting your time or theirs by contacting you. They can read your media kit and know in advance that you're not interested in doing product reviews. You basically, I mean, it should also be a aesthetically pleasing document. It shouldn't simply be text. You'd want to have some nice graphic headers and a nice flow to the document so that it's presentation worthy. You could almost think of it as if you were going to be giving a professional presentation of yourself and your work, this is something that you could liken that to.
All right. Now, any specific places that they might be able to go on the web that would give them some of those numbers you were talking about? You mentioned Google PageRank and mm-hmm. Some of the, there are some sites I know that are very useful for gathering that information.
Well, Google Analytics is by far the best tool. If you don't have Google Analytics installed on your website or blog, I highly encourage you to do that immediately. And it's very simple to do if you simply just go to search Google Analytics. It will come up, and they give you a step-by-step process of how to install it into your blog or website. And it is different for, so if you have a WordPress blog or if you have a your own hosting platform, the instructions are different for each site. But using Google Analytics will tell you what type of content people are interacting with the most, what pages people are visiting the most on your page, the information I was telling you about, you know, what states people are visiting your page from, and how long they're spending on your site. The Google Analytics is a perfect example of how to get the majority of that information. Google PageRank, you can just, again, search Google PageRank, and you type in your URL, and it will simply tell you what your page rank is. The scale goes from 1 to 10, and you shouldn't be discouraged if you only have a 2 or a 3, because, to be honest, 8, 9, and 10 are pretty unattainable by the average
person. Unless you're like Amazon. I think
exactly,
Amazon.
Exactly, exactly. ESPN has an 8. You know, CNN has a 9. Google is 10. Microsoft is 10. Adobe is 10. So, you know, if you have a 0, you have a problem because that means that your blog is not being recognized by Google. But if you have a 3 or a 4, that's pretty good. And, you know, you can always improve, but it's better than 0.
All right. Excellent. And now we've talked a little bit about incorporating social media into our blog in order to attract advertisers, but I'm not sure that people really know how we would best go about doing that. So let's talk a little bit about how to incorporate social media into our blogs.
So people
and why
always
will
ask
that attract
me,
advertisers?
Sure. So people always ask me, you know, if I only have time to do one thing, which should I do? And I always say blogging first. But Twitter, Facebook, those things can't be far behind when you're using social media. They do all kind of have to work together. The reason I say blogging should be first is because blogging takes some time for you to understand how to develop content and the frequency in developing content. And once you have that down, then you turn to Facebook and Twitter, and we'll just use Twitter for example. So once you have your blog post, you turn to your Twitter account and you tweet out a link to your blog post and maybe the headline using hashtags. So for example, right now in Boston, Whitey Bulger is a big story, the mob boss that was found. And so let's say you're going to write you have a government blog and you want to write about what's going on right now with Whitey Bulger. And you write your blog post, you then go to Twitter, do the link to your blog post, and you use the hashtag Whitey Bulger. Right now, anytime someone then searches Whitey Bulger, your tweet will come up with the link to your blog post. And so you have just, you know, you may have only picked up 5 new readers from that blog post, but it's 5 more than you had before. And Twitter is a great example of how to get new people to your blog. You know, it only takes one simple tweet for them to come to your blog, really enjoy it, and subscribe to your feed, and boom, it's done. You have an instant reader and one subscriber. So it's really important to use Twitter for that. Now, YouTube is another great example because video content is a very high driver of search engine optimization to your blog. So let's say you write a cooking blog and you're going to take a video of the perfect way to start a charcoal grill. You want to do things that you know people are turning to Google and YouTube to maybe figure out how to do. So you take a 3-minute video on how to start a charcoal grill, and you then make a blog post out of that, but it's also now on YouTube. So anytime people are coming to YouTube to watch your video, in the description of your video, or even maybe in a YouTube has some great features for something called annotations, where you can add little pop-up boxes and information directly into the video itself. So maybe while your video is playing, in the bottom of the video, you have added an annotation from YouTube that says, for more information or great tips, visit julie'scookingblog.com. And people can click through right from YouTube to your blog. So the more that you can incorporate other forms of social media into your blog is really beneficial. Now, the second part of that is you want to always have in each blog post the ability for people to share your blog post. And there's tons of different widgets you can add to your sites. You've probably seen a common one is called Add This, ADD This, THIS, and at the at the bottom of people's blog post, it will say add this, and there's a variety, at least 3 dozen options for different social media sites you can add it to, but people can then tweet out your blog post directly from your website to their own Twitter account, or they could post it on their own Facebook account, and that also gives the instant ability to go viral and get new readers that you may not have had before. So it's always a good idea to have that capability on your site as well.
It sounds like you've given us some really good tips there for how to get new people to your blog that haven't known about you already, because that's always the tough thing, I think, is, you know, you have some people that you get on your list and they regularly look for your blog post, but unless they're sharing out your blog with other people, it's sometimes hard to figure out how you can get more people, but clearly you've just showed us here that, you know, the YouTube is an excellent way to get people that never heard of you before to know about you. The same thing with the Twitter hashtags. So,
right.
So those
the,
are some
the
really
thing
great
I wanted
tips.
To, I wanted to add one other thing on Twitter, and that is when you put your blog post out on Twitter and you put the link, don't be afraid to add at the end of your tweet, please retweet. And if you don't have room, you can shorten it to PLZ space RT. And when you encourage people to retweet your message, they will. We've seen it. We're actually trying something along those lines for a client of ours. And we have seen an uptick in retweeting of the message by simply encouraging people to retweet it, by just putting those, you know, five characters, PLZRT, and it really does make a difference.
And it sounds like it's a code that people will understand.
Yes.
It sounds pretty clear. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit more about getting traffic to our blog, because obviously one of the things that that people are always asking me when they're contacting me and asking me, you know, if I'd be interested in having them advertise on my blog, that one of the first things they're asking me is, how much traffic do I have? How many people come to my site? So let's really agree that getting traffic to our blog is imperative to getting advertisers, because the advertisers aren't going to want to be there unless there's people coming to see us. So how do we get traffic?
Well, what I'm about to say may be a little scary to some people, but it really is frequency in your posting. Many, you know, successful bloggers who are making 5 and 6 figures from their blog, they're posting upwards of 60 to 80 times per day.
Wow.
Because it's their full-time job. And I understand that blogging and web page, you know, having a website is most often not someone's full-time job. My own blog is a prime example of that. My blog, I'm not looking for advertisers on my blog. My blog is simply a place for me to go and share my thoughts, but even for that, it's hard for me to post often because I am maintaining so many other blogs, and you know, we're all busy, we all have lives. But honestly, that's really it. It's frequency. I would say, you know, a good goal to start is a minimum. If you are trying to have this be your main source of income, a minimum of 5 posts a day in the beginning would be essential. One post a day is just not going to do it, because what happens is when you have, let's say you're posting 100 times a day and you have 100 different topics that you can share with the world. So while someone may not be interested in the first thing you post, they may be interested in the 70th thing you post. And think of all the people in the, you know, general population. So if you're only posting one thing a day and it's not of interest to half of your readers will have lost interest for that day, and they will not share what content you're putting out. But if you're posting, you know, 20 times a day and 10 of your posts are of interest to half the people, then you are, those 10 people are sharing with, let's just say, you know, the average Facebook user has 160 friends. So they're sharing it with 160 friends. You've now increased your possibility to be seen. Versus if you only post once per day and half the people don't like the content, they're not sharing it. So then no one new is learning about your blog. So it really comes down to the frequency of posting that makes all the difference.
Now, you're talking about posting to Twitter and Facebook, or are you actually talking about posting to the blog?
I'm talking about posting to the blog. So
okay.
I would say you would need five individual blog posts. And if you have your blog broken down into categories, let's go to the cooking example again. So let's say, you know, one of your categories is barbecuing, and one of your categories is cooking with a wok, and one of your categories is crock-pot cooking. It could be you could have three categories in Crock-Pot, or you could have three posts in Crock-Pot and one post in grilling, or you could have all the posts being grilling. It's fine. The categories don't matter. It's just the number of times that you are pushing content from your blog out.
All right. Well, I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are going to be feeling rather intimidated by that, Marissa. So how long do each of these posts need to be?
They don't have to be long at all. It could simply be two sentences and a picture. Let's say you have, using the cooking example, you made a great pasta salad. You simply post the recipe to your pasta salad and a picture of the pasta salad, and you're done. Now, the other thing to remember is one of the tools that I use is scheduling. So, or pre-writing. You don't have to, you know, write them all right then, because, again, I know we're all very busy, and to sit down and write five blog posts would be a lot for someone. But let's say on a Sunday afternoon you have time to write 20 blog posts, and let's just say it's 20 recipes. 20 recipes that you use all the time, and you just need to type the recipes out with the instructions, and they'll be ready to go. So let's say you're going to, every day you know you're going to post a recipe. So on Sunday you could sit and type out seven recipes, and then you have them all stored, and then all you have to do is go out on and upload them. So it doesn't have to be, you know, fresh content that you're sitting there that day and writing. You can pre-plan. Many of the successful bloggers I know, they do exactly that. They'll sit on a Sunday and say they're going to do book reviews or recipe writing. They'll write them all out in one day for the whole week. Or they'll do two at a time so that they're not having to do them every day. So if you look at your schedule and say, wow, Thursday is really busy for me, I'm not going to have any time to blog. On Sunday, write out all the blog posts. And again, they don't have to be long. Blog posts typically should not be much more than really 2 to 3 paragraphs is like maximum. And even that is long. I would say the bloggers that I know that are posting upwards of 85 to 100 times a day, they're often posting just one sentence with a link, or one sentence with a picture or a video, or and it could be just, hey, have you seen this video with the link to the video? So it's not that they're necessarily generating so much content on their own. They may be reading an article in the newspaper and giving their brief opinion to it and linking to the article. So I don't want people to think that it has to be this, you know, extremely well thought out philosophical writing. It doesn't have to be that at all. It can just be, and you know, even if you're busy that day, I have a lot of blogger friends who will go on and they'll say, today is not my day. I'm having a terrible day, so you're not going to see a blog post from me today, so just wait until tomorrow, you know? The more you can show your true personality, the more successful you will be.
Excellent. And so in addition to showing your own true personality, it sounds like it doesn't have to be all original content. It could be content that I'm pulling from, you said, newspapers, or maybe from other people's blogs, and I comment about what somebody else said about something.
Yes, I have a lot
about
of
a news event.
I have a lot of blog, for example, coupon blogs are very popular right now. And if I have a lot of mom blogger friends who I see all the time that they will repost from another mom blogger, and they'll say, oh, have you seen that Powerade is having a 50-cent coupon thanks to Frugal Mom for sharing? And they'll link back to that person's website. So as long as you're attributing and you're giving credit, that's absolutely fine. Clearly, you know, plagiarism rules still apply, so I wouldn't lift content without giving the proper credit or linking back. By any means, but yes, it's absolutely fine to share content or give your feedback from a newspaper article as long as you're attributing it properly.
All right. Well, that's really excellent information that's going to bring traffic to our site, get more subscribers, and those are things that advertisers care about, traffic and subscribers. So assuming that we've now built some traffic and we've got subscribers, so we have something to talk to advertisers about, what type of advertising should I be offering?
Well, there's several different kinds. If you're looking at blogs currently, you'll probably see many of them have banner ads, which is the top area above your menu bar usually. It goes across the width of the page. There's the tower ads, which run long ways down the sides of the page. And then there's widgets, which could be a small box, roughly 125 pixels by 125 pixels. And those are all different graphic ads. Now, many times advertisers will already have these elements created, and so you can simply say, you know, I have these three different type of graphic ads space available, and you can tell them what your pricing is for that. They simply email it to you, and you upload it. It's a very easy process. The other kind is content-related advertising. So if you have a product that you want reviewed or you have a event that you'd like to have reviewed or a brand, people can contact you and say, you know, I would like to pay you a fee of $200 to write a blog post on my company, Jamie's Coffee Shop. There are many different schools of thought on paying bloggers for content. As we all know, there's new regulations, not new anymore, but there are regulations for bloggers. They have to disclose when they are compensated or paid for anything. So many times bloggers will not take a fee for a review. They will simply take the free product to review, but you'll notice at the bottom of the blog post, you or any blogs you're reading will always say, you know, I was given a pound of Julie's coffee to try for this review, and I've also been given one to give away on my blog. Mm-hmm. But if you're not giving something away to review and you simply want, or an advertiser has contacted you to simply write about their brand, let's say it's, well, most brands have examples that they can give you, but if they just want you to write about a brand or a company per se, you can certainly go back to them and say, okay, my fee for writing is $200 per blog post, or I have seen some that are $2,000 per blog post. So whatever it is you're comfortable charging, then that's what you would charge. So the two options then are graphic ads or content advertising.
Okay. Now, what about people have contacted me and said that they want to have just a inline situation where all they just want a hyperlink, you know, that either might be in a sentence like, you know, I really like coffee and recently I tried whatever that was you said, Susie's Coffee. With a hyperlink on Susie's Coffee, what do you think about that type of ad from the point of view of is it valuable to the sponsor, the person who's paying you for it?
I think it is. It is valuable to the sponsor. My only caution on that would be that they're probably going to want to pay a nominal fee for the hyperlink. They wouldn't want to pay as much as if they were going to have you write a whole blog post about Jamie's Coffee. But to be honest, you are going to write a whole blog post. You're not going to write a whole blog post about your day and then just insert a line that says, oh, and then I stopped at Jamie's Coffee with a hyperlink to Jamie's Coffee. You're going to give more detail about it. So one of the things that you have to remember is not to sell yourself short. You know, if this is your full-time job, you should be compensated for it. And it's always important to remember that, and my philosophy is that bloggers are not being compensated for their content. They're being compensated for their time. So the time that you are taking to write that blog post, and even if you're only giving a link to Jamie's Coffee, there's still more time involved. So I would be cautious about offering something so small because then everyone will just want to pay you for a link and they won't want to pay you for the actual time that you took to write the full blog post.
Oh, that's really good advice. I know that early on when I first bought NABBW, I was contacted by a major sponsor who had worked with the Dotsie, the former owner of NABBW, and they had apparently worked with her in a situation where they posted a contest onto the site and they didn't pay her for it. All they did was they were giving a prize away to the member. And I said, no, this is not going to work for me because you're asking me to, do work, you know, to put information up on my site, and I'm not going to do that for nothing. So I think that's
good,
really
for you.
Important. They were a little shocked, but they paid.
Well, I think something that's important to remember too is that there are different types of compensation, and if an advertiser contacts you and they maybe don't have the budget to pay, you know, cash out of their pocket, what kind of experience can they offer you? I have many mom blogger friends who I work with who they do make their living from their blog, but they also need something for their three young children to do every day. And so if, you know, for example, the zoo contacts them and says, we'd like to invite you and to bring your family to see our new penguin exhibit, and we'll, you know, we will cover your costs for the zoo, we'll provide lunch for you and your family, we'll give you some great takeaways, and all they ask in return for is a blog post, then many women I work with, they will do that because it's a free experience for them and their children to get out of the house. So,
Excellent. Now, you've mentioned many times mom bloggers, and I certainly talked about the mom bloggers in the material that I use to promote our call, because I think that mom bloggers are a genre that people recognize, and and certainly it's a growing genre. But I'm thinking that the same concept of the mom bloggers can apply to baby boomers. You know, instead of writing about our children, I think that that if there isn't a group of, and I think there are some baby boomer bloggers. I just don't think they're as well recognized as the mom bloggers. But there's certainly things about baby boomers' lives that we can all blog about. And I think that what you're saying would then apply to people who want to promote products that baby boomers would buy. So
absolutely. And I think the amount of services and experiences would definitely be equal to that of those that's available for mom bloggers, because baby boomers do tend to have more discretionary income, or they will have more time in some cases to go out and experience things and then write about them. So I think there's some exciting opportunities that could be available for baby boomer bloggers also.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit. I'm not going to go in exact order of all the questions that we listed here. Let's jump ahead here for a second to the concept of what we charge, baby boomer bloggers, or anyone else who's listening here. If you're not a baby boomer blogger, that's fine. How much should we be charging advertisers? Sometimes, you know, we might get a contact from someone who will say, I will pay you, as you've just said, like the zoo, I will pay you admission for you and your family, et cetera. But what do you think about the concept of that in our media kit, it has some rates, and how do we figure out what those rates are, and how do we figure out how to make those rates something that the advertiser will say, that makes sense, I'm willing to pay that?
Right. Well, I think in the beginning you definitely have to look at your Google Analytics and see what kind of numbers you have to back things up. If you're just getting started and you don't have a lot of traffic, I would start small. And by small, I mean $50 for a blog post, annual advertising plan. So, you know, you could say for $125, you will have a widget on my site for a full calendar year. That way you're not turning people off immediately. Now, if you have the numbers to back it up, I have many bloggers that we work with who are in the 35,000 to 50,000 unique hits a day. They're in the $500 range per post. Advertising can often be in the between $1,000 and $3,000. But it's really about the relationship. You know, blog advertising does not work like traditional advertising, where you just call up the advertising person and say, oh, I want to put an ad in the newspaper. I want to put an ad on this, you know, Boston.com. It doesn't really work like that. It's more about the relationship because, to be honest, you shouldn't put anything on your blog that you're not comfortable with and you don't personally support.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit more subjective than traditional advertising. And, you know, I would encourage people to, you know, maybe don't put your actual rates in your media kit. You can put your numbers, but then say something like, contact me for further information.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gives you the opportunity then, so if you don't support gun law, for example, and the NRA wants to put an ad on your site,
right?
And they contact you for rates, you can simply say, oh, you know, all of our advertising is sold out, or we don't have room, and then you're not discriminating. So I wouldn't necessarily put your rates on your media kit. I would just put your statistics and information in something that says contact me for more information, because you could, you know, you own this. You can do whatever you want
right.
with it. So you could work out a program with, you know, let's just say it is the zoo, and they're going to give you 50 free passes for a year, and you'll give them a banner ad on your site and 3 posts for, in addition to the 50 free passes, maybe $200 annually. So you can really work out whatever you want. I definitely encourage trade to get started. If you don't have any readers and you're trying to build your blog or your website, why not trade? It's not costing you money out of your pocket. You know, you're already paying to have your hosting plan and have your domain. You're already paying for that anyway. So why not do a little trade? It gets some activity onto your page, because no one ever wants to be the first advertiser. So if you can get something onto your page, it's better than nothing. And if you traded for it, then so be it. But I would always start small. But at the same time, once you do get a little bit more traction and you do have visitors, don't be afraid to charge what you want to earn. And if that's $500 a post, then so be it. And if people contact you and you say, my fee is $500, and they, you know, and 20 people tell you, oh, that's too high, then maybe reconsider. But I guarantee you there will be at least one person who says, okay. So don't sell yourself short, but, you know, start slow.
Excellent. Now, you've talked about the concept of having a media kit or telling people with a blog that you're interested in having advertisers or sponsors on your site. What do you think about the concept of actually making a hit list of people that you'd like to have as sponsors and contacting them? And if anyone were to do that, what do you think is what you need to be able to tell them in terms of number of visitors to your site, number of times that you post per day? What are they going to be looking for in order for them to say, this is going to be a good return on my investment?
Well, I'll answer the second part of the question first. They're definitely going to be looking for your unique page visitors. That's going to be their first question. How many uniques do you have? Second, I would say they will be asking about how many times you post, what your topics of post. They may also ask how many people interact with your post, meaning how many people comment. If you go on a blog and they have 70 posts a day, but they have 0 comments, no one is reading that. So they're going to ask you things like that. They may ask you how many Twitter followers you have, how many Facebook fans do you have. So they're going to ask you, a lot of times advertisers are very numbers driven. So be prepared to answer those types of questions. But for the first part of the question, I would be cautious about spending too much time outreaching companies, because it's going to take you, unless you have a direct connection, it's going to take you a bit of time to figure out who the correct person is and how they, you know, how their process works. What I see is, if when we have blogger events, for example, We invite bloggers to come, and oftentimes one blogger will write back to me and say, oh, I have this friend who does a similar blog. Would it be okay if she came?
Mm-hmm.
And 9 times out of 10, I'll say, sure, you know, if we have the room. But I always have many people, they contact me. Or if after the fact people see their blogger friends posting a recap about an event, or they sent a tweet about an event, they'll say, oh, that looked like fun. I wish I could have gone. And then Julie, blogger, will say, oh, contact Marissa at Agner to get more information about the next event. And then they'll send me an email. So
mm-hmm.
really working your network of bloggers, you should not look at other bloggers as competition by any means.
Mm-hmm.
You should become very friendly with other bloggers and participate in blogger networks, because that's how you get in with advertisers. And that's how you get on PR agency lists for things, is being out there more. So I would say it's more beneficial for your time to go that route than to spend time looking up advertisers and determining the right person to call and then and going that route.
All right. Now, you talked a little bit earlier in that answer about the concept of interaction, you know, that you want advertisers are going to be looking to see what type of interaction there is on your blog, how many people respond to a post that you make. And I certainly think that that's hugely important, but sometimes I believe that it's really hard to get interaction started. Just like you said, nobody wants to be the first advertiser. I think sometimes nobody wants to be the first person to make a comment to your post. So I've heard someone suggesting that you could get a group of blogging friends together, and you agree that you will all post comments about each other's blog posts. So you kind of have a circle that's all supporting each other. Do you think that that's something that advertisers would think is legitimate as a way to start getting people to see that you do accept comments on your post, or would they feel that, you know, if there's a certain core group of people that are always responding to your post, they're going to be suspicious of that?
I would say that's absolutely a fabulous idea.
Okay.
Blog companies, they're, to be honest, they're not really looking at the content. They're going to be saying, they're going to look down and they're going to say, okay, there was 27 comments. They're not going to spend time reading through all 27 comments. They're looking
mm-hmm.
at solely the number. They're not looking at the content. But the important thing to remember is that, and I have lots of friends who are part of blogger networks, and say there's 12 people in your blogger network and you have an agreement to always post comments. So anytime you're posting, you are then getting access to that person's readers, and likewise, their readers are getting access to your blog. So that sharing of information essentially will lead to more and more comments and readers. So I think that's a fabulous idea. I think anytime you can encourage people to make friends, essentially, make connections,
mm-hmm.
do that sort of thing, it's a great idea. The other thing is that you have to read blogs also. So even if you don't know the person or you're not as part of a networking group, definitely just read other people's blogs and post comments on their blogs. And you know, when you post your comment, you can say, hi, this is Anne from NABBW, and I really enjoyed this post, and this is why. People then see your comment, and they have access to link directly to your website, and that gives you access to tons more people than you may have had before. So just getting out there in the community, the blogging community, will help tremendously.
All right. Excellent. Let's see, getting back to our list here and making sure we don't leave off any of the questions. Let's talk a little bit about how many visits to your blog is going to be considered good visits per day by advertisers. I know that you've alluded to some numbers here, you know, saying, you know, I think at one point you said 50 or, you know, I guess let's just look at it from the simple, how many visits per day will an advertiser start to think is good? Because obviously many of us are going to have to ramp things up here before we can start to attract advertisers.
Right. Well, I think it's important to look at who your audience is also and who the advertiser is. So clearly somebody like Disney is going to expect at least 25,000 unique visits a day. But possibly someone like your local hardware store or your local nursery florist, if you went to them and said, my blog gets 100 visits a day, and those 100 people are all from your town, and you're going to be charging them $25 a month for advertising, that's 100 more people than they were having access to before. So, if you think about it, you can say to them, I have 100 visits, unique visits per day, so times that by 30 days, and you're only charging them $25 per month, let's say, that's an unbelievable investment for them to get access to that many people. So I would definitely look at who the advertiser is, and, you know, it's all relative to what you're trying to attract. If you are trying to go after the big dogs, then clearly you're going to need a lot of visits. But if you're just trying to get started and you're going to, you know, go after a small business, a mom and pop, something along those lines, then, you know, I would say between, I would say starting at 100 would be a great number for them.
All right. Now, say we're talking about the concept of going after mom and pops. I think mom and pops are always looking for where is the best way to invest their advertising dollar, and their dollars are limited, so they're certainly going to be wanting to get the most bang for their buck in terms of where they spend it. I hear on my local radio station, which I only listen to when I'm driving, but I hear on my local radio station the sales manager is always running these commercials where she's telling people that radio is better than advertising in my Yellow Pages, which I totally agree with her on that. I'm not a big fan of Yellow Page advertising, but if I'm going to be talking to a non-sophisticated potential advertiser like a mom and pop, what are some of the things that I would think that you would advise me or other potential bloggers that are listening here should be telling them in terms of the staying power of our audience? Because, you know, they're always hearing that, you know, yes, the radio station calls and tells, you know, we've got so many thousands of people during drive time or whatever, but you don't really know how people that are listening on the radio are actually paying attention. So is there some information that we can give people as bloggers that will cause local mom-and-pop advertisers to say, this is a better buy for me than the more traditional advertisers or advertising media that they're used to thinking about?
Yes. Well, I think, and this is where, to come back to your earlier question about reaching out to people, this is where I might say you would want to do that. So let's say you want to talk about, or, you know, you have Milton's Flower Shop, and you outreach them and say, I'd like to write a blog post. You want to talk about advertising, and they say, prove it. Well, you write a blog post, and you get a coupon from them with their permission, and you put it on your blog post. You put it on Facebook, you put it on Twitter, you put it everywhere. But this coupon is unique to your blog, meaning it's not available anyplace else. Then, when you disseminate your blog to all your family, friends, and that's another thing I should mention, just kind of going off track for one moment, that you should also use email. So when you have a blog and you're getting it started and you write a blog post, you should definitely be emailing it out to all your friends and family as well and encouraging them to read it. So going back, you get this coupon, you put it in your blog, and then you encourage everyone you know to go and use this coupon. So then you could say to the flower shop, how many redemptions of this coupon did you have? And let's say they say 20. I guarantee they did not have 20 redemptions from a coupon or some special they ran on the radio. And by then, you can prove yourself and the worth of your blog because those people are using that coupon. Now, will that happen every month? Probably not. But it's a good way to show them how powerful your blog is. And it's trackable. That's the other thing. Many times, advertising is not trackable. You can say, oh, we had, just like you said, we have 600,000 people who heard it. But how many people did anything about it? And that's one of the things that blogging can do. You know, if the company you're working with, they have an online shopping site and they give you a promotional code to use in your blog post, where at the bottom you you write all about Martin Flowers, and then at the bottom of it you say, you know, if you'd like $10 off your next order, use this promo code. And again, that promo code, though, has to be exclusive to you. It allows them instant access to track the return on their investment of advertising with you.
Excellent. Excellent. I think that for those of us who have small audiences and therefore need to start with some local advertisers, that is really crucial advice, that a big takeaway from what you've been telling us here today. I'm seeing as I look at my screen that I've kind of lost track of the time. Our time has really been flying by here today, so I'm going to open the call up and let our listeners have a chance to ask you a few questions here before we close. We do have a few minutes left before the call. So who's got a question? Okay, well, don't all talk at once here. All right, I've got some questions here that we'll ask here to hopefully get the juices flowing and get some of our other people to ask us a question here. Let's go a little bit more about what we were just talking about, Marissa, and say, what should I be blogging about that will attract advertisers?
It really has to be what you're passionate about. If it is gardening, politics, cooking, whatever it is, it has to be something you're passionate about, because if you're not, then you will have a very difficult time coming up with content. And a lot of people struggle with that. I mean, I myself struggle with that on my own blog, is that you want to talk about everything that's going on in your life. You want to talk about your grandkids. You want to talk about cooking. You want to talk about traveling. You want to talk about your dog, whatever it is. You need to have some focus to your blog. And a lot of times people will say to me even, you need to have a different blog for everything. So on my blog, I talk about current events. I talk about TV. I talk about social media. But again, I'm not trying to attract advertisers, so it's okay in that sense. But if you are trying to attract advertisers, you have to have a clear and defined focus. And if you want to talk about, now, if you want to talk about your grandkids, there are many successful grandparent bloggers I know who do occasionally, they'll talk about cooking or traveling, but they inject their grandkids into it also. So it always kind of circles back. But having that focus is very important in bringing advertisers to your site.
Okay, so something that we have some passion about, that we really care about, so that it's something that we can write those at least five posts a day about. That's really important, and I'm sure that having seen a few blog that my fellow NABBW members are writing, I don't know that I've seen anybody blogging that five at least times a day kind of a thing. So I think that's going to be a big, huge takeaway from this call, is how much, if we want to attract advertisers, if we're just blogging for fun, you know, we could blog whatever we want to. But if we're blogging and want to attract advertisers, we really need to be dedicated to it. Some other things that I think that are things that we should review here in terms of things that you've said that are really important as we're closing the call is, let's talk a little bit again about the design of your blog. And how much would you say that the design of your blog matters to the success in attracting readers and advertisers?
The design is very important. You don't want to have a blog that's discombobulated or has no theme. You want to have a clear, defined area for advertisers. You want to have a clear, defined area for your content, and it all needs to work properly. So having broken links or having broken images, that's not good. The aesthetic value is very important. So if you have trouble with that or you need help with that, I definitely encourage, go to Craigslist and look up in the gigs section. There's creative people who are always looking for website development things, and it's very inexpensive, very inexpensive. We just had a whole website done for a client for $100, and it
wow.
looks amazing. So if that's not your forte, design or making, you know, writing code, that's not for you, there are plenty of resources out there. You could also contact your local college and ask them if they have a web major or web department, and if there are any college students who are looking for credit or they're looking to build their portfolio. There are definitely affordable ways to make your blog look nice.
All right. So back in the early days of web design, I used to hear internet marketing experts tell me that websites, the look of the website doesn't matter. Ugly is fine. As it just drove me crazy when they used to say that. And I think that what you're saying is aesthetically pleasing is better in terms of getting people to stay longer on your site to
right.
read it and interact with you.
Right.
That's something that I think is really good for us to be aware of. Now, what about the URL of our blog? Is that something that we need to pay attention to?
It is definitely something to pay attention to. You know, a lot of times people, they will have, you know, you'll see the URL. It will say, you know, juliescooking.typepad.com or, you know, blogspot.juliescooking.com. At this day and age, it is so easy to get your own domain. They're really, and it's so inexpensive. You know, GoDaddy is like $7 to get a domain. But then you do have to get a hosting plan. One of the benefits of using one of those types of services, Blogger, any of those, is that they do handle the hosting for you. But a hosting plan, I mean, you can get for as little as $10 a month, or some I've even seen less than that. So you want to really have a concise URL. The other nice thing about it is when you have your own URL and your own hosting plan, you can have a customized email. So it can be, you know, julie@juliescooking.com, which just looks more professional than it having to be like julie@gmail.com. And that way you can also filter any comments or things all related to your blog to one email. So everything is not coming into, say, your personal email and getting confused or, you know, with other personal things you may have going on or other work you may have going on coming into that email address. If you have a separate email address, it just helps with your organization. But definitely having a concise, and you don't want it to be too long either. Because you want it to be something that people can easily remember. So I would also stay away from dashes or dots. So not julies.cooking.com. You want it to be, or julies-cooking. You always want it to be as simple for people to remember as possible.
So it would be Julie's Cooking with no dash or anything, just all run together, two words run together, that you would say that's the best way to go.
Yes.
With juliescooking.com, assuming that's available.
Assuming
all right.
that's available, yeah.
Anyone else? Any other questions here before we close what I think has been a really excellent call here today, Marissa?
Great.
Nobody else wants to talk? All right. Well, once again, we've been talking here today with Marissa Sweezy, who is the digital... You want to give us your title here again?
Yes, Digital and Social Media Director at Agner Prensky Marketing Group.
Excellent. And that's, if anyone wants to contact you, can they just go to the website or do you have any?
If people want to contact me, I'm happy to answer questions. My email is mswazy, S-W-E-A-Z-Y. At Agner, A-I-G-N-E-R, P-R-E-N, S as in Sam, K-Y, marketing.com. Now, that's an example of one that's too long. I can be found by also going to our website, which is Agner, A-I-G-N-E-R, Prensky, P-R-E-N-S-K-Y, marketing.com also.
Excellent. Well, Marissa, it's been great talking to you today. Thank you for being my guest and for the great discussion about how to attract sponsors and advertisers to our blogs. And I certainly hope that everyone who's listening will take action on the wonderful information that you've given us, and hopefully all of us who have the interest in generating serious income from our blog will move forward with this, because certainly it is possible to make a full-time living from a blog, and what a wonderful type of a job to have. I think, you know, what you're saying is writing five or more times a day about something that we love.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't want to do that? Thank you.
Have a great
bye now.
Day. Bye-bye.
You too.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted.